Praise God for the river of his anointing.
Hallelujah.
It is so present today, is
yes,
it not,
it is.
Brother Nathan?
Yes,
you have tuned in to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries, and we are going to have a wild two-hour show, are we not? We're pumped. Our engineer, Brother Bill, is back with us today, and last week he had car trouble, and he missed the goodies we brought him to eat, but today we brought you cake. And what he just did there is called applesauce when he does that. Applesauce for the cake you got, right?
Thank you for the cake.
Yes, you are so welcome.
Sean made that cake.
Sean made the cake.
Did.
Yes,
he's an excellent cake baker.
Isn't
he
not?
Is.
Yes. Every week we have cake at church. Bill, you should get up and come to church because we have cake. Yes.
Get up and come to church.
Yes, we have cake.
Oh, how's the book doing?
The book is actually doing fine. Very good. And we gave some away today at the service. It was really good. So this is Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. I'll tell you more about the book after a while. And I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister. Here in the studio with me is my dear brother and minister of music at Beacon of Hope, Nathan Burton.
Hello.
there he is. Hello. We were just reminiscing about you and Connie and I did the very first radio show for this ministry right here around this table.
Yep.
And that was in 2007, April of 2007.
Where does the time go?
Yes, we're in our fifth year. We're in our fifth year on the radio here at Tan Talk 1340. What an exciting thing that is. And this is show number 222.
Yes.
222. Two is the number of God working with us.
Yes.
You know,
thank you,
God
Jesus.
With us, revealed in us. You know,
that's right.
So that's pretty cool. Today's show is number 222.
I thought God's number was 7.
God's number,
well, God's
is 7.
Number is 7.
Every number means something. That's God's perfect number. That's his
and
number.
What does 2 mean in the God world?
It means God and man working together.
Right.
Isn't that cool?
Working in harmony.
Working in harmony. How about that? You're learning, Bill. You're just learning. What can we say?
Yep.
We're so glad you've all joined us today. We'll have another guest join us in a little while, Carol from Georgia. And, you know, Brother Nathan, if it gets any better at church at Beacon of Hope, I don't know what we're going to do.
Well,
we're just going to be raptured, aren't we? Or
I like I just was telling you all ago,
yeah,
if heaven's going to be better than this, I don't know how.
Did we have church today or what?
My
voice is still a little hoarse from all the singing and all the
but it was wonderful.
Preaching
it
and
was
the ministry
wonderful.
And
oh.
And, yeah, wow.
Just, yes.
It was just wow.
It was just wonderful.
And when we say that, and some of our audience may not know why we get so excited about going to church. And when you say it's wonderful, do you want to amplify on why it was wonderful? I mean,
my goodness.
It's all right.
Well, every Sunday to me, every time, every service.
Right.
You know, Sunday, Wednesday.
Right.
You know, I'm looking so forward to our Tuesday night.
Right. We're starting that this week.
Yes,
Faithful Leaders.
Faithful Leaders. I'm just, you know, every time we get together as a body, God does something. He does something to me. And I mean, it's just, he visits.
He visits. He's there.
He's there. And he just, I mean, he fills my heart.
Mm.
And it's just a wonderful experience for me. And I just, you know,
the
I'm
anointing's
just glad to
so
be
strong.
There.
Oh, the anointing's been so strong now for quite a while.
Yes.
I mean, on and off for years, but recently there's this
goodness.
New sense of his presence at Beacon of Hope.
And new people are coming
new
in
people
and experiencing it.
Experiencing it and staying, coming back.
And realizing that they're experiencing it and realizing that they need it.
Exactly. And that's exciting,
and
isn't it?
That is very exciting.
And you and Connie cracked me up again this morning because the anointing was so strong when we were up there doing all the music, and then you could hardly get off the platform when it was time for me to preach. And you two are staggering around like two old drunks. I don't know what I'm going to do with you. But, you know, it's the anointing.
Wine.
It's the new wine. It is. It's the presence
it's
of God.
Smell.
And it was powerful and powerful and so powerful.
Yes.
And we were just talking. We did that song, Holy Ground, which we used to do at Cornerstone at my church in Indiana. We did that this morning. And one of our praise team leaders in Indiana, beautiful. I want you to meet her when we get to heaven. Her name is Sylvia.
Okay.
And Sylvia was a great, big, beautiful black woman. That's, I guess that's where I decided I wanted to be a big black woman. I don't
that's
know.
That's where it comes from.
Sylvia could sing, like, when she belted out Holy Ground. I mean, I have her on CD. I'll have to play it for you sometime. Or not CD, a cassette. That's what we had back in those days. But when Sylvia sang Holy Ground, and some of our listening audience right now listening to us from Indiana, you remember what that was like. When Sylvia opened her mouth and golly, she belted out those verses. And so we were laughing because I was going to sing the verses to that today. And then when I got up there, I thought, nah, I won't. And then it just, the Holy Spirit just led us into that. And there was more strength in my voice today than there has been for a real long time, I think. The anointing was very, very strong.
If your voice has ever been weaker, I've not noticed.
Really? No. Oh, no, it was just the Holy Spirit was doing that
God
today.
Just
her favorite song was Holy Ground?
Yes, Sylvia, yes, it was.
Is this it right here?
That's the other one, but that's all right. Go ahead, play
that's
that.
It.
Go ahead, play
that's
that.
It.
Play a little of it.
That's it.
That's the other Holy Ground we did this morning.
Yeah, but that's the one that has the verses.
Wow. Thank you, Bill. Thanks for finding that.
that's not the Holy Ground that she usually sings.
No, it's a little different, but that's all right. You know what? That's fine. That was
no
beautiful.
Problem.
We did do that song this morning, too.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we did. So, you know, we're just in a wonderful time of growth at Beacon of Hope here in Clearwater, Florida. Those of you that are a part of this ministry, but you're in other parts of the United States and of the world, we're glad that you join us on Sundays for our show.
Yes.
And it's a blessing, isn't it, Nathan, that we know we have people listening, we hear from them, and it's really cool. We keep running into more people that are listening,
and they
it's exciting. And they tell us.
And they tell us, and like we're celebrities.
Right, which we are not whatsoever. But it's kind of cool to run into people and go, oh, yeah, I listen to you on the radio.
Yeah, I hear you on the radio.
Yeah. So that's pretty cool. Anyway, for those of you in our listening audience that sometimes miss one of the shows, go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com. Anytime after about Monday afternoon, Bill gets me the show. I get it up to our webmaster in Georgia, Maxine, who, by the way, turned 60 this week.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, she did. Yeah.
Wow.
Woo! Happy birthday, Maxine.
Happy birthday,
she's
Maxine.
A great webmaster.
Yes.
And then she gets it on our website, and then it's there. So that's exciting, and we appreciate having that opportunity. And today we are going to talk about how we get over those circumstances in our life that seem so difficult.
Yes.
Because, Brother Nathan, you and I both, we've gone through lots of things in our lives. And sometimes that's how come we have this little bit of gray hair that we have. This tiny bit of gray hair that we have.
You've got a tiny bit. I've got a head full.
Yeah, but you pointed out the other night that I was getting some hair on the side.
Some,
thanks
feathers.
A lot. Yeah,
you
thanks.
Got some feathers coming
okay.
in on the side there.
But you know, when you live through a lot, and we have, and we both grew up in the ministry with our parents in ministry and so forth. We've gone through a lot in ministry. We've been hurt a lot in ministry, you know. But we have come to a point that we are stronger today. You and I both are. And we are stronger than I think we've ever been.
Yes.
I know I am, and I feel that in you, too.
Oh, I am.
I feel that strength in God that is just like, wow, you know?
Well, praise God.
Let's
thank
just, you.
You
know, let's just get it done for God, you know? That's what it's all about. You wrote a song. You actually wrote it at church in one of our services. I remember where we were. It's when we were meeting on Waters Avenue in Tampa.
Yes.
And I remember the day you wrote this song. Darkness has no power over me. I do remember that day. Kathy, Ruthie, all of them were part of the church.
Right, that's right.
And they took this song on as their own.
That's right.
Let's listen to Nathan Burton right now.
I've been set free. Darkness has no power over me. I've made my choice to lift my voice and praise the Lord. I've been set free. Darkness has no power over me. I've made my choice to lift my voice and praise the Lord. Even in my trials, I can rejoice. With praises to my King, I lift my voice. For the Son of God has come to set me free. Darkness has no power over me. I've been set free. I've been set free. Darkness has no power over me. I've made my choice to lift my voice and to praise the Lord.
I've been set free.
I've been set free. Darkness has no power over me. I've made my choice to lift my voice and to praise the Lord.
You can know the joy of victory. By our faith, our vision we can see.
To lift my voice and to praise the Lord.
I've been set free.
I've been set free. Darkness has no power over me. I've made my choice to lift my voice and to praise the Lord.
I've made my choice.
I've made my choice to lift my voice and to praise the Lord.
I've made
wow. What a great song. Engineer Bill, that's Nathan, this Nathan who wrote and sang that song.
I know,
song.
That's great. How long did it take you to come up with the words for that song?
Oh, gosh. It happened.
5 minutes.
Yeah, it happened
wow.
in the service.
That quick.
It happened under the anointing of God. And it just happened. As it just, he's written many, many songs like
yes.
that just flow out of him as we are worshiping. And the song is written, the piano part, the words, all of it just comes flying out.
Yep.
And that's just the anointing of God. His CD, your CD, Beacon Songs of Praise, is on our website, beaconofhopeministries.com, and people can write and get a free copy.
Okay.
Or they can pay for it.
Yes.
Either way.
Either way.
Paying for it would be good, too. Yeah. So it's on our website, beaconofhopeministries.com. And we're going to talk about this whole concept. You out there, if you have your Bible, let's go to Acts chapter 16. And I was preaching out of Acts 16 this morning. Sometimes I talk on the radio about some of the same things we did at church, and a lot of times I don't. But we're going to use this as a springboard into a deeper discussion here when Carol comes on. And we're going to talk about the ways to overcome the enemy. And one of those ways, Nathan, is this very song, Darkness Has No Power Over Me.
That's right.
It's a decision, don't you think?
That's
I'm
right.
into that today. You
That's
understand
right.
that,
That's right?
That's right.
I do.
Yeah. I mean, why is it a decision that darkness has no power over me? And how can you just decide that?
Well, it's a decision because the enemy has nothing to do with my life.
Right.
Unless I allow him.
There you go.
And see, the decision is not to allow him.
Amen.
And so therefore, you know, I enter into worship and praise.
Right.
And he flees.
Darkness has no power over me.
He has to go.
Yes.
So.
But the enemy thinks he has, and the enemy of our souls is Satan, who is the prince of darkness, the liar, you know, all of the things that he does. He's been called different things. Jesus called him the liar and the father of lies.
Yes.
Jesus called him the accuser of the brethren.
Yes.
There's a lot of things that he's called him. And basically, it's the enemy of our souls
yes.
who constantly comes to try to defeat us and to take the victory that we have in Jesus away from us.
Yes.
Because if he can get us into a position of being under his feet, I mean Satan's feet,
yeah.
Then what happens to us, Brother Nathan?
Well, we sink in a cloud of despair. we feel hopeless.
Yes.
We feel helpless.
Yes.
We feel like there's no hope.
Right.
We just, you know, we feel like, where is God?
Where is God?
Where is God?
Right.
You know, here I am and I'm being trampled.
Right.
And I'm not supposed to be trampled. So, you know, what's going on here, God? And God says, well, it's up to you.
Exactly. And so often we don't want to hear that,
no,
that it's up to
that.
Us.
That's right.
We want it all done for us.
That's right.
And we go to Acts 16 and we find starting in about verse 13 that there is a time that Paul and Silas and some of the brethren that traveled together, they on a Sabbath day, they went down by the river where they heard there was a prayer meeting going on. Isn't that cool? Yeah, there was a prayer meeting going on. They went down there, and there was a bunch of women. And one of those women, her name was Lydia, and she was one that sold expensive textiles, it says. And and she was a worker of fabric, a seamstress. I don't know what else she really did, but she sold expensive garments. Things like this. And when they went down and met with all these women at the prayer meeting at the riverside, she was listening. This is about verse 14 of Acts chapter 16. She was listening with intensity to what was being said.
Her heart was open. When she was hearing the words of God coming out of Paul and Silas' mouth, her heart was open to receive.
Her heart was open.
Yes.
And you know, Nathan, you hear me say this a lot at Beacon of Hope, and usually I have us grab our Bibles as I start to preach and say, you know, I agree that God is going to speak to me today. These are cards of new people. That God's going to speak to me today through the pages of my Bible.
Yes.
And we ask God to open the eyes of our heart and our ears so we can hear. And Lord, we do that right now as we begin this show today. Yes. Because there are some out there who need to hear that God really does have answers for your situation.
Yes, they do.
And we are going to talk about that today. And so, Lord, we come to you in agreement, in the prayer of agreement right now, as we begin this show today on July the 10th of 2011. We thank you, Lord, that your word, you are faithful to your word, that your word is true, that your word is sharper than any two-edged sword and able to get down on the inside of us and change us. And so, Lord, we thank you and praise you right now for your word. And we thank you in advance for opening the eyes of our understanding and our hearts to see and hear the truths that you would have for us to hear this day. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Jesus' name. Amen.
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 So Paul and Silas are down there meeting with these women, and Lydia decides to accept the word of the Lord and get saved
and
accept Jesus. And she got baptized.
Yes.
And it says here, along with everyone in her household.
Yes.
That's about verse 15 of Acts 16.
Yes.
Isn't that cool?
That
everybody
so cool.
in her household. So she said, and I love this in the Message Bible, she said in a surge of hospitality, if y'all understand that I mean business about the Lord, come on home with me and let me feed you dinner.
Yeah.
That was kind of cool.
That was cool.
Yeah, that's right.
That was a bold statement.
Yeah. And it says here that she wouldn't take no for an answer.
Nope.
She just said, you're all coming home for dinner.
Yep.
That's kind of cool. And by the way, that is the New Testament church way of really getting close to people is to break bread with them and
bonding.
Hospitality,
yes.
bonding. So one day, Paul says, that they were on their way to that place of prayer. And this little slave girl began to bother them.
Yes.
You want to talk about that and what happened there, Nathan? Because I'm in Acts 16, verse 16, by the way, if you're just joining us.
Well, she was a psychic.
Yes.
And she made a lot of money for her owners.
She sure did.
You know, and in the, you know, and her, she had a great ability in this.
Right.
And, believability.
Right.
And so people were paying a great deal to hear what she had to say.
Right.
And so she was
And people do that yet today, don't they?
They do that today. Yes, they do.
They go to psychic readers, fortune tellers,
yes,
clairvoyant people.
And people, if you do this,
right.
let us tell you now, this is wrong.
Exactly.
Because the enemy uses half-truths.
That's it. Right there.
You know, and full lies to deceive us with this occult.
Exactly.
That's what he uses people in this manner.
Right.
And it is not of God.
It is not. And you need to break that.
You need to break hold. You know, if you're doing this, you need to stop.
Right.
And just, you know, take hold of yourself. Shake yourself.
Right.
Get loose from it.
Yes. Because it's all lies of the devil.
Don't allow it to govern your life.
Right.
At all. Because it's not of God.
Exactly.
But she was doing this, she was running around behind them, and she was saying, these people are people who will tell you of a way
right
to God, and
right
and you know, and she said it, one of the things that distinguished what she was saying was a way
not the way.
Way.
Exactly.
And also she, you know, she was just very loudly proclaiming behind them and point directing people to them.
Yes.
But this was a very big distraction.
Yes.
And a disturbance to Paul.
Right.
And so one day Paul got tired of her.
Yeah, he sure did.
And he turned and he said, out.
Amen. And that's in about verse 18 of Acts 16.
And that was all he needed to say. Because the authority behind it cast out the demon.
That's exactly right.
And she lost her powers.
She lost her powers.
And so therefore, and when she lost her powers and her owners saw this, that she had lost her powers, they became very angry.
Oh, why were they angry, Brother Nathan? Why would they be angry about this woman being set free?
They were angry because as long as she was in bondage to this occult,
right,
they were making money.
Right. Exactly.
And the Bible does tell us that the love of money is the root of all evil.
This is true. Yeah.
And they loved that money.
Right.
And they were no longer making that money. And so therefore, they sought to oppress the ministers
of God.
They so did.
They were angry with Paul and Silas for casting out those demons. Because which is interesting point here, Brother Nathan, because when they cast those out, she was no longer able to do
the psychic stuff
and the fortune telling, which again proves that that stuff was coming from the devil.
Right.
Because once those demonic spirits were cast out, she lost her power.
Right.
You know?
I mean, and she couldn't convince anybody of anything.
Right.
You know, that wasn't from God. She couldn't do it.
Yeah.
She could not do it.
She couldn't do it.
And so, since she had lost this ability, her owners set about to destroy the work of Paul and Silas.
That's right.
And what they did was they beat him up.
Right.
And then
they
took him to court.
Right.
And said, these men are disturbing the peace.
Right.
Which was a very interesting thing that you brought today in church today when you said, well, actually, the girl was disturbing the peace.
Right.
And when the disturbance of the peace was dealt with,
right,
then the accuser turned it around and turned it against the men of God.
Which is what the devil does to us.
That's what he
does. Does he not?
That's yeah.
Yeah.
That's exactly what he does.
Yeah.
And so after he had done this, the people were in agreement with him.
Right.
Yeah. And so the people in court decided to agree with the mob.
Mm-hmm.
And they threw Paul and Silas in jail.
Yes, in jail. And
in the innermost part of
the jail. Exactly, maximum security.
Maximum security with stocks on their hands and on their legs.
Yes.
Which, I think about that, and it's like they were bruised.
Yes.
They were cut from the beating because they had a public beating.
They had a public beating. They stripped them of their clothes.
Stripped them of their clothes and beat them. And so when I imagine them being in those stocks was very painful, you know, just the idea of having been beaten and having these things happen to them.
Right. Exactly.
Then to be.
Right.
And you know, maximum security.
Oh, absolutely.
You know. What, it's just awful.
Should have been a time where they would be crying
and depressed
and discouraged and
complaining.
Exactly. And that wasn't their attitude, was it?
That wasn't their attitude at all. I mean, they were rejoicing, as Jesus said, rejoice when you are persecuted for my sake.
Right. He does say that. And he expects us to do
that's
that.
That's right. And they took him literally. They knew that Jesus had said this.
Yes.
And they took him literally. And they were rejoicing. And the word says here they were singing boisterously.
Yes. boisterous
hymn. It was like loudly. I mean, everyone in the prison could hear them.
Right.
You know, the prison guard could hear them. You know, everyone could hear them praising God.
Let's look at that. It's in about verse 25. Okay. Along about midnight. Do you see that?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you want to, let's see, wait a minute. That's where it starts. Verse 25. Do you want to read 25 and 26?
Sure.
Yeah.
Along about midnight, Paul and Silas were at prayer and singing a robust hymn to God.
Mm-hmm.
The other prisoners couldn't believe their ears. Well, of course, I mean, here's these guys are in maximum security. They've been beaten. They've been
right.
All the things. And of course, they knew, too, that they were not guilty.
Right.
You know, these men did nothing to deserve what was done to them.
Right.
But they could not understand why they would be praising God.
Exactly.
Then, without warning, a huge earthquake.
Amen.
The jailhouse tottered. Every door flew open. All the prisoners were loose.
Oh, my. Now, we've got here a potentially very, very discouraging, disappointing, depressing time for Paul and Silas to be thrown into maximum security prison for something that was, all they did was cast a demon out of this girl.
Which was needed.
Which was needed, obviously. But because it affected her owner's pocketbook, they were suddenly put in a position of being the bad guys.
Yes.
For actually doing a good thing.
Yes.
So when they find themselves in prison, they really have two choices. And and we're going to talk about this a lot today, about the choices we have when we're up against difficult situations. We have choices.
Yes, we do.
We have choices. But I find it interesting here that they were singing this hymn to God, and it had to be a decision to praise in the midst of their pain. They probably were in physical pain, don't you think, from the stocks?
They probably didn't really feel like it.
They probably didn't feel like it. No.
They probably didn't feel like it.
No, they probably wished they could go to sleep and just not have to worry about the pain in their bodies or anything else.
Right.
But yet, they knew the secret of triumphing in the midst of our circumstances.
Yes.
And which reminds me of 2 Corinthians 2:14, and I'm going to run over there a minute before we get Carol in here. This has always been one of my favorite verses, 2 Corinthians 2:14. I'm actually going to go to my little green, cute NIV Bible here because it says it more closely to the way I memorized it in the New American Standard. 2 Corinthians 2:14 says, "But thanks be to God who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ, and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of Him. For we are," I'm going on to the next verse, "we are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and to those who are perishing. To some, we smell like death. To the other, the fragrance of life." And what he's really saying here is God always causes things that seem bad to turn in our favor, Romans 8:28, "for we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose." But it requires this choice. Paul and Silas, I'm going to get Carol's take on this in a minute. But Nathan, why do you think that these two had the stamina, courage, strength, all of that to praise in the midst of such difficult times?
Because they knew the word of God.
Okay.
And they knew what Jesus, they knew Jesus's very words.
Yes.
And Jesus said to rejoice.
Right.
Whenever someone persecutes you for my sake, rejoice.
Woo.
Rejoice. And so therefore they were obedient.
Amen.
And they made the choice to be obedient and do what Jesus said do.
Yes.
And that was it.
That was it.
I mean,
they knew the choices.
Jesus said it, they believed it, and that settled it.
Which reminds me of your song that we just did, Darkness Has No Power Over Me.
I made my choice to rejoice and praise the Lord.
You know, Bill, let's go back to that before we bring Carol in in just a second. We'll bring Carol in on the other side of that song. I want to play it one more time because this is a powerful song that God gave you, and it is so fitting for today.
Mm-hmm.
Darkness Has No Power Over Me.
Been set free. Darkness has no power over me. I've made my choice to lift my voice and praise the Lord. I've been set free. Darkness has no power over me. I've made my choice to lift my voice and praise the Lord. Even in my trials, I can rejoice. Praises to my King, I lift my voice. For the Son of God has come to set me free. set free. Darkness has no power over me. I've made my choice to lift my voice and to praise the Lord.
I've been set free.
I've been set free. Darkness has no power over me. I've made my choice to lift my voice and to praise the Lord.
You can know the joy of victory. By our faith, our vision we can see.
To lift my voice and to praise the Lord.
I've been set free.
I've been set free. Darkness has no power over me. I've made my choice to lift my voice.
How true that is. You wrote it in 2004, I believe, at Beacon of Hope in a service on Waters Avenue. Carol, are you there?
I'm right here.
Carol, what does that song do for you, girl? You were there, I
yes,
think, when Nathan
yes,
wrote that.
Yes, she was. Yes, she was.
What's that do for you, Carol?
Well, it just kind of breaks the heavens through. You know, you know when you hear that song, and Nathan is certainly gifted by Christ to do these things.
Yes, he is.
Write the music that he writes, and he writes it at such poignant times.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember the sermon being one of your usual very strong sermons, and keeping people oppressed is not what God wants us to do.
Exactly.
He doesn't want us to be oppressed. He doesn't want to be downtrodden or face things that
right.
we think we can do on our own, and consequently we make a mess of it.
Right.
But we don't give darkness any power over
right.
us Christians. So Nathan's song, just Maxine and I sing it so many times when,
do you?
When
yeah.
the clouds are a little dark and a little gray around
yeah.
the fringes, you know?
All right.
All right.
Shout it out. Darkness
right.
has no power
that's
over
right.
me.
That's right.
That's right.
I've been set free,
Amen.
You know?
Amen.
And, you know, isn't that wonderful news that God has set us free
yes.
from Amen.
Every aspect of the world that would
Woo.
Claim us?
Mm. Yes. Mm. Yes.
Yes.
We don't need it.
We don't need, and we don't need to walk around with long faces,
no.
depressed, discouraged,
no.
and wondering
heavy
where.
Heavy hearts.
Yeah, heavy hearts,
you know.
Wondering where the next shoe's going to drop, or, you know, what's the next thing, awful
nothing,
thing that's going to happen.
Nothing like that.
It's all about our attitude, Carol, and I've really been on this kick today at Beacon of Hope. It is really about attitude. And what do you think, Carol, when Paul and Silas were able, in maximum security and physical pain, to sit there and sing, it says in the Message Bible, a robust hymn to God. Now, that is not a little wimpy, you know, song. This is like, wah! It's like darkness has no power over me. It's that kind of a song,
yes.
you know?
Yes.
I was thinking they probably sang this song.
They
back
probably
then,
sang this and
God
yeah, gave it
me.
Back to you.
Right.
Yeah, that's probably it. They probably
exactly
written by
what
Paul.
They were singing, something
yeah.
equivalent to that.
Yeah.
They were singing about their situation and laughing because prisons cannot hold God's people.
Woo!
That's right. Thank
Amen.
You, Lord. Thank
we
you,
will
Lord.
Not, our minds will not be imprisoned
right.
by the world outside.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We will not be imprisoned by the work of Satan.
No.
Right.
Those
no.
of us who know God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit on a
right.
very personal level
right.
yes.
know that we have been set free.
Woo.
Been set free of every ugly, nasty thing the world thinks it will do to us, and we will live victoriously through Jesus
yes.
because he will handle all of our issues.
Yes.
You know, you are so right, Carol. And also, I feel like so many people don't realize that it's all over. It's already done.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's like when sometimes people laugh at me. I have friends that when I say, well, I can't watch the Bucks game today or my Rays game, so I'm going to tape it. And, you know, so I can watch it later. And I've had people say, but you know, you hear the score. You're going to know what happened. And so why are you going to do that? Because you already know.
The
you know,
ending.
What's going to happen.
Right.
But I like watching it anyway and seeing the details,
seeing
okay? Well, we know the end of the story here.
Yes,
Satan's a defeated foe. He is already a defeated foe.
Yes.
But we have to remind him. It's our job to remind him all the time.
You are
yes.
defeated.
And we also like to realize that, as with your ball games, and, you know, I enjoy sports as well.
Yes.
We may know the score and the outcome of
right.
the score, but we want to know how it was achieved.
Yes, how did we get there?
Even at a loss, we want to know how was it achieved?
Right.
Who gave the most? Who did the most? Who expected the most? The least, you know? And that's the way it is in God's kingdom.
Yes.
Who does the most? Those people who are front runners for Jesus Christ. Look at Paul and Silas, front runners.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Aren't you glad we know
the front? And here
their
they
story.
Sit in this prison, beaten and torn up and physically beaten to death halfway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And sit there and yell and shout and sing praises to God because they know in their hearts and in their souls and their spirit of living with Christ that they have been set free of all of those things.
Yes.
With one finger touch his hem, they can be healed.
Yes.
Well, one finger touch.
You know, that you're exactly right. I think that we have to do a shift on the inside of us. Those of us that are really wanting to go deeper with God in this day and age, you know, those of us that are saying, okay, God, give me all you have. It's time for us to find that place where the shift occurs, where we go from feeling sorry for ourselves, where we go from being depressed about our circumstances, even from looking at the TV and all the gloomy employment records and all that kind of stuff.
The news.
The news. We've got to get to a place where we shift past all of that.
That's right.
You know,
when we're persecuted for the sake of the gospel, God can make us a powerful testimony in that.
Yes.
Exactly.
His Holy Spirit will work through us as we reach out to all of those people around us who are suffering and hurting and don't know.
Exactly.
Know him personally. Yes. You know, if we look at Corrie Ten Boom, my goodness gracious.
Oh, my goodness, but she went through.
Right.
You know, look at what she had to go through, and yet look how victoriously she walked.
How beautiful her life was.
You know, and Helen Keller, look at what that poor woman went through.
History.
The only thing that she had was in her mind the vision. She could see Christ.
Yes.
She could see him. She could see him in an action, word, and deed. And the people that knew her and even heard her speak could see the mercy of God and the love of God in that woman.
Yes.
Absolutely.
You know, she was imprisoned by her own loss of her senses.
Right.
Yet she had a loving, yielding heart.
Right. And she shifted gears and went past that. You know, when we were just now talking about that, my ex-husband and I had 32 cars in 15 years, Nathan.
Oh, my
Seriously,
goodness.
We did. We did.
Oh, my goodness.
And, Carol, you've heard me say this, but we had several Mustangs, okay? And our honeymoon car was a 1966 Mustang, and this was 1968 when we got married.
Okay.
Oop, that dates me. Oops. Anyway, it was a really cool little dark green Mustang GT. And it was a 4-speed. And this thing had a lot of power, you know, just a cute little car.
They do.
And I can remember, because we were really young. We were like 20. We got married. And I can remember the thrill of going out on the open road. And in Indiana, there's a lot of open roads. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not like it is here. And going out there on the open road, you know, and driving that stick shift. You know, and you come to a place, you go, whoa, I'm shifting into fifth gear, you know, and I'm pushing this thing on up. And, you know, especially if an old person, but I mean, a person got in front of us, you know, that was driving
moving.
real slow.
Yes.
It was so much fun just to shift gears,
and
you know, and drive that. I could still. Thanks, Bill. That's cool. That's cool. More apples
in there.
Yeah, I like that. And just shift gears and go around that distraction.
Yes.
And just. And feeling the convertible with
going.
The air, you know, the air, the wind in your hair, and just keep on going and go around that situation. And that's what I'm hearing here from both of you, how important it is to learn to shift.
Yes.
One thing we learn when we get into a difficult situation that perhaps we haven't been in previously and have no basic knowledge of at that moment is that we learn that we can trust in God.
Yes.
Amen.
Oh, yes.
He takes care of it.
Yes.
He knows the situation.
Yes.
He knows who we are. He knows what we need, when we need it, and how he's going to get it to us.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he does.
And we just have to walk through it with faith. Mm. It's, you know, when I hate to bring this up over and over, but when I walked through cancer, I got news for you. I hadn't done it before.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
It was not a repeat for me. And I'm not saying there won't ever be, but I'm saying there won't ever be.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But walking through it, I had a choice. Like Nathan said, I had a choice. Mm-hmm. I could rejoice in knowing God as my personal Savior and the healer of my body, or I could give my hands a turn to the sky and say, woe is me.
Yep.
What have you done to me now?
Yep.
And I chose to say, God, I don't know what other people would do, but I thank you for putting this burden on me because I know how I'm going to deal with it.
All right.
And Carol, I know because I was up there and I went to Emory with you and Maxine one day, and I know one way you handled it. You allowed yourself to be used of God to minister to other people going through the same thing, sitting in those waiting rooms, waiting on your treatment. You know?
I can't tell you how exciting it was.
It was exciting.
I was lifted to a place I don't know if I'll ever achieve again. I was lifted into grace.
Exactly.
Hallelujah.
Everything about me, it was as if my feet could not touch the ground. And I declared, walking down my driveway, and I said, God, I'm not going to ask you why me. I'm going to ask you why not me.
Why not?
I'm equipped to deal with it.
Yes.
Maxine's equipped to deal with it. My household is ready to deal with it.
Yeah.
We know that the salvation of Jesus Christ is alive and well in us.
Yes.
And people were ministered to as a result of your story.
I tell you, it was the most exciting time of my life.
Right.
And that is the truth. Even more exciting than when I get a new boxer puppy with puppy breath and big chocolate brown eyes. Even more exciting than when I write a new story and it comes out like I expected.
Right.
It was the most exciting time I was able. And I told God, I said, Lord, let's make this a journey.
Amen.
Let's make this a faith journey. Mm. I will go where you tell me to go. I will do what you ask me to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll do it in your name.
Thank you, Jesus.
I am your vessel today. And I know each of you have said the same things.
Yes.
Same things. I remember when Nathan had taken very ill. And I was in Gainesville at a University of Florida graduation.
You were in the hospital for about 3 weeks. I remember that.
Yeah.
And you couldn't get to him right away. And you didn't know where I was.
Right.
But you couldn't get to him right away for whatever the circumstances.
Yeah.
And you called my cell phone in Gainesville.
Yeah.
And you said, Nathan's in the hospital. I said, where? You said, Tampa. And you said, I can't get to him. Can you get here? I said, I'll be there in 2 hours.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, I remember that.
And we were there in 2 hours.
You know, and speaking of that, I'm going to bring this up, Carol, because about 6 or 8 weeks ago, you were suddenly stricken, profoundly deaf in your right ear.
Correct.
Actually, in a worship service, it happened. And you lost the hearing in your right ear entirely.
Yes.
And now we can report today that you are believing God for total restoration in that ear because there's nothing more the doctors can do for you. Is that correct?
They can't find anything wrong with it.
They can't find anything wrong.
No,
interesting.
I've had an MRI. I've had so many examinations. I've gone through dizziness and balance clinics. I've been put through a lot of the stuff pilots go through of jets and just plain airplanes and astronauts. I've seen it. I've done it. It's been an exciting.
Are you saying you're an astronaut, Carol?
There's nothing wrong with my ear.
There's nothing wrong with your ear.
There's nothing wrong with my ear. They can find nothing wrong with any parts of my ear.
And they also said to you, Carol, that you would never have any hearing restored in that ear, correct?
That's what they tell me. Every single one that has touched me, and there have been at least 5 or 6 people, and they, well, maybe 7 or 8, and they all say, you will never hear from
and
that
how
ear again.
Much, how much of your hearing has been restored now as of the last few couple weeks?
Approximately 20%.
Exactly.
Oh, praise God.
So what? I told you this, and I believe this with all of my heart. You know, the world is a noisy place.
Yes.
You don't realize it until you don't have perfect hearing anymore.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It is extremely noisy. And I think I had allowed myself to be wrapped up in the sounds of the world, not walking away from God or anything like that, but hearing the sounds of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And so when I found out I was profoundly deaf, I said, God, please, if you would please grant me the hearing to hear the birds sing every day, I will do what I can to restore if I can. So the point being, now that I have one ear that I can hear out of, I'm hearing him out of my right ear.
Mm-hmm.
I am hearing him speak to me in deeper
yes,
tones.
Praise God.
I'm hearing him speak to me with deeper wisdom,
uh-huh.
deeper philosophical ideas about
right.
him,
yeah.
spiritualities. My spiritual sense is becoming greater and greater and greater. And silly me, I ask for that.
Well,
went there,
careful what you
Lord,
ask.
Lord, I need to hear you more. I need to hear your voice. I need to hear your commands to me.
Oh, my, Carol.
Mm. I'm hearing him. Hello.
Yeah. Yes, you are.
You certainly are.
Yes,
praise God.
And they were totally amazed that this much of my ear. And I told them, I said, don't worry about it. And now they're saying it was probably a virus that destroyed my hearing, because there's nothing anatomically wrong. Mm. You see, he did not, and Maxine and I proclaim this, and we proclaim it in victory.
Mm-hmm.
We believe there was something wrong.
Mm.
That an anvil broke loose, or my hammer fell down my throat, wherever it goes.
And, her anvil and her hammer.
And
her
anvil
ear.
And my hammer and
yeah,
all of those little
right.
cookies and
yeah.
all those little crystals that are in your
uh-huh.
ear.
Yeah.
All of those things, something was amiss.
Mm. Right.
But the power of prayer
yes.
mm-hmm.
from
mm-hmm.
believers
yes.
and the power of prayer from me
yes.
and Maxine and my family and other people has made that disappear.
Yes.
Amen.
We know at Beacon how that happens.
Yes,
right, we do.
We
see it all the time, don't we? The miracle working power of God.
Yes, we do.
Cancers disappear off people's face.
Right.
Yes.
Absolutely.
We've seen lost souls come crawling to the altar.
Amen. Yes.
Begging for the word of God to
Amen.
Infiltrate them.
Yes.
Praise God.
Now, if he can do that to me.
Right.
If he can heal Nathan. If he can heal you.
Right.
Who are we?
Huh. Yeah.
Who are we? We are no more important than any other person that he deals with on a daily basis.
He loves us so much.
I heard something from David Jeremiah, the pastor, this morning.
Yeah.
And he was trying to make his people understand the power of prayer
mm-hmm.
keeps you connected to the Father in ways that no one else can explain it to
right.
you.
Right, exactly.
And he said, I want you to understand something. Even Billy Graham, whom you all know, has no more closeness to Jesus Christ than any one of you can have.
Right.
He is no more important to God than anybody sitting out here today.
We all are important.
The difference
Absolutely.
Is he's a praying man.
Amen. That's exactly right. Woo! And so we welcome him, the Holy Spirit, to do the work in each of us. Listen to this song, and we'll be back with you in a minute, Carol. Holy Spirit, Thou Art Welcome by Rodney Howard Brown.
Holy Spirit, Thou Art Welcome. Holy Spirit, Thou art welcome in this place. Omnipotent Father of mercy and grace, Thou art welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, Thou art welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, Thou art welcome in this place. Omnipotent Father of mercy and grace, Thou Oh.
welcome. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah, mighty God. We love you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, we love you, Jesus. We love you so much. Praise God. Nathan, we were just talking to Carol about her healing. We'll bring her back in here in just a minute. But you have been healed yourself so many times. Oh, and
so many things.
You know, and when we talk about this whole thing of breaking through when we're going through a difficult time, and Carol was just talking about the healing needed in her body, and I know there's times that you have had those kinds of difficult experiences physically and emotionally. And we all have them emotionally.
Yes.
But tell me about the value of praise, what Paul and Silas were doing here. How has that whole concept changed your life?
I think that praise breaks contact with the conflict.
Oh, my. Oh, my. That's profound. Praise breaks contact with the conflict. Okay, that's good.
It takes you from one place to another.
Yes, it does, doesn't it? It moves your situation. It shifts you like Mustang going around the slow car.
That's right.
It shifts you into a different realm, does it not?
Yes, it does.
The slow car with the old people.
There you go, Carol. The slow car with the old people. Yeah.
Right. We're going to be old people before you know it.
All right. There you go, honey.
I can write a book on that one.
But to both of you, don't you think that praise is the key that unlocks the answers, and that the devil has tried his best to keep people in ignorance about the value of praise?
Oh, yes.
And worship.
Oh, yes.
Sure.
I mean,
he doesn't want us to sing songs of praise to Almighty God.
No.
That hurts his feelings real bad.
It hurts his feelings.
He kind of gets his toes stepped on. And then, you know, when we praise God, as we're supposed to do, adoration, you know, just should flow from our mouths every day, every minute of the day, whether we're speaking it out loud or whether we're speaking it in our heart, that we praise God and thank Him. You know, I mean, omnipotent power, a Father of mercy and grace, just infiltrate your mind and your soul and indoctrinate you into a warmth. Oh, my gosh.
It takes you to a different place. It shifts your focus.
You want to be there. You want to sing praises to Him.
Yes.
You know, if we recognize everything God has done for us through His Son Jesus, we can't do anything but sing hallelujah.
That's
and amen.
Right.
All right, Nathan, comment on what Carol just said there.
You could be bedridden.
Yes.
And you know, and your body could be racked with pain.
Right.
But if you turn your mind upon Jesus, turn your eyes upon Jesus.
Ooh, I love that old song, too.
Yes, turn your eyes upon Jesus and just start worshiping Him.
Yes.
Not seeking, not going to Him and asking for anything.
Right.
But just
the act of worshiping.
Him. Just worshiping Him.
And the
act of worship, your healing can come.
Well, it doesn't even say here in Acts 16 that they asked for God to do a miracle.
No,
they just started praising God.
They just praised God because God is God and He's worthy to be praised.
He's worthy of a praise.
See, and that's it.
Yeah.
And today's churches, I think, are soft when it comes to that kind of thing.
Right.
They don't realize, they don't take to heart that God is worthy to be praised.
Yes.
Because He's God.
Right.
He's God.
Because He's powerful and He loves us.
And He loves us, but He's God.
Yes, He is.
He's the creator of everything.
Amen.
And just that alone is worthy of praise.
Exactly.
So when we look around and we see all that He's created.
Yes.
You know, there's so much beauty.
Right.
You know, there are things that He created that we don't appreciate so much.
Right.
Like cockroaches and insects and that kind of thing.
Yeah. But
even they have their function.
Even they have,
they do.
Even they have their function. I mean, there are so many things that we don't understand their function.
Right.
You know?
Exactly.
But the fact of the matter is, He's the God of all creation.
Yes.
And that makes Him worthy.
Right.
That makes Him worthy.
Let alone what Jesus did on the cross.
Let alone what Jesus did on the cross.
Yes.
I mean, that just makes him more worthy.
Absolutely.
Look at the lowly spider. If it weren't for the lowly spider, many people would not be calling out the name Jesus.
Come on, that's right. Because you know so many people do when they see it.
I am yelling Jesus. And I expect all the disciples to come running and that thing, you know?
You are a funny lady,
and you know? That's what we do. We call out when something upsets us.
Right. We certainly don't understand it,
or we don't feel a part of anything anymore. We call out Jesus, and look up, here come the heavens splitting open, and all the disciples come running.
Yes.
Through Scripture, they run to us through Scripture.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Well, and don't you think it's going to be fun someday in heaven to get Paul and Silas aside and say, hey, what song were you singing?
Yeah.
I'm sure it was a Jewish song. You know, we probably wouldn't recognize it or anything, but I think it's just kind of fun because for us, in our situation, all of us, you know, we have certain praise songs that just really propel us into that place, that rock us, and that cause us, you know, Holy Ground that we did earlier, it is one of those for me. It is a very special song.
Yes.
And then there's, you know, just the old standard, praise the name of Jesus. He's my rock. He's my fortress. He's my deliverer. You know, there are so many wonderful songs that just send us into that place of adoration.
You know, it just takes us to that place where we're seated with Christ in heavenly places.
Yes, absolutely.
We're going to die with laughter when we ask Paul and Silas, and they start. So, well, we had this little song in our head, and it goes like this: "Darkness has no power over me."
Yeah.
Our knees and hee haw.
Yeah, that's probably what they're going to say. Praise God.
They're going to be going, no wonder I had that song.
That's right. God just brought it back.
Praise God.
Divinely inspired.
Amen.
There's nothing new.
You know, and I want to talk about this more in the next hour, but I want to talk more about the things that the devil tries to use against us, the tricks and the schemes to keep us from praising God. But as we close out this first hour here, and by the way, we start on another hour. You have time to call a friend, invite them to listen. If you are scattered someplace other than the Tampa Bay area, you find us on www.tantalk1340.com. Then push the listen button. You can actually see us here in the studio also. If you're in the Tampa Bay area and the radio is 1340 AM, or you can go to the website also. Invite a friend to listen, because honestly, and I don't say this every week, although I think that we have wonderful shows every week, but and I'm not prejudiced under anything, or you know, but I really do believe that. But this whole show today on praise will change your life.
It will change your life.
And a lot of our shows, the content will change your life. But I'm telling you, if you get this concept down on the inside of you, you will never be the same.
That's right.
You will never be the same. Woo, praise God. Let's do some station identification here.
Right.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa, St. Petersburg. WDCF, Dade City, Zephyr Hills, and Wesley Chapel. And KLRG, Sheridan, Little Rock, Arkansas.
All right. You're listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. So often I say that very fast, so I'm going to slow down and say it. Beacon of Hope Ministries. In Clearwater, Florida, our website is www.beaconofhopeministries.com. Last week, last Sunday, Nathan, we were at the nursing home where Jeannie used to live, where my mother was. And Jeannie, of course, went on to be with the Lord just a few weeks back ago. My mom is still living. She's in assisted living. And I joined her for a wild game of bingo yesterday at at the assisted living. And those girls can play bingo, let me tell you. They play multiple cards at once.
Oh, my goodness.
Which is very interesting. But anyway, they do. So last week at the nursing home ministry, what a powerful time we had.
It was so wonderful. The voices.
They're learning the songs, because we go once a month, the first Sunday of every month.
Right.
And they're beginning to learn the songs that we're singing with them. Old Sunday school songs, hymns. But you know what blessed me, and I have not been able to get this guy out of my mind, is the David Davis there, a retired pastor.
Yes.
And he was in the hallway in his wheelchair as we were gathering people in. Carol, I don't think I told you this. This is just really cool what happened. And this, are you still there, Carol?
I'm listening.
All right. This pastor says to me, I said, you want to come into our service? And he says, well, I'm a retired pastor. And he said, I get tired of people being so judgmental. And what was the other word he said? If you're going to have a service where it's all sad, I don't have time for that. And I said,
did he not know?
Sir, it is so not that. Mm-hmm. Would you come in the room? And he said, yes.
Just check us out.
So he comes in, he's singing, and he's the victim of Parkinson's. And so he has interesting, you know, movements that happen with a Parkinson's body and so forth. But anyway, at the very end, when we were done and we had to get out of there because we had to get over here to the radio station, he said, he raised his hand. He said, can we sing a song can I teach you a song? As it turned out, it was one I grew up in Sunday school singing. Had you ever sang that one, Nathan?
No, I hadn't.
It basically, the words are, I'm happy, 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 yeah, happy, you know, because Jesus saved me. That's, and the words are just over and over again. I'm so happy. I'm so happy. I'm so happy. Yeah, da, 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 da. Anyway, it was so cute, Carol. I wish you could have been there to see this.
It was wonderful.
Because he sang it as a solo first.
Yes.
And just blessed us so much that in his body, as racked as it was with Parkinson's disease, he loved the Lord so much. And he didn't want to come to a service that was just going to be, you know, kind of a depressing situation. Critical, depressing, lack of
rejoicing.
That's what it was, he said. And yet he got in there and he sang the solo, and then we all sang it with him. I don't know, Nathan, what about you? But what did that do for you? I have not forgotten David all week long.
I was thoroughly blessed.
Yes.
I was thoroughly blessed because he got it.
He got it. Yeah.
He got it in that service.
And he enjoyed singing it, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
And
yes,
it was the day before July 4th. So we were doing, you were on the keyboard doing glory, glory, hallelujah, glory. And boy, I tell you, that whole place was ringing.
It was rocked.
They were stomping, weren't they?
Wonderful.
I'm betting that he will be first in the door.
I think he will next time.
I think he will be.
Exactly.
But the voice is, I mean,
I want to ask you both a question since I know that you both enjoy music so much.
We do.
And,
you know, Maxine is a real lover of music as well. And one of our biggest contentions that we have with the modern church, trying to branch out and do these new modern services, how many times, and when you've been in a situation of attending one of those churches where it's all about this new age music and the drums and the guitars all blasting things beyond whatever you could hear,
right,
how many times do you just quietly in your spirit go, on a hill far away?
Yes.
Yes.
Or you sing one of the, oh, holy, 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 or God is my everything. I mean,
well, you know, you and Nathan and I, well, you know, we still incorporate some of the old hymns at Beacon of Hope,
yes,
and we also incorporate some of the new style, more contemporary things on this show and at Beacon. But I am all about, to me, the criteria is there anointing on that song?
Yes.
And anointing is the presence of God. And whether that song is 50 years old or it's 5 weeks old, it doesn't have the anointing of God on it. Does it stir your heart? You know, does it stir, like David, the psalmist David, as he, I can just picture him on the hill there with his sheep running around and all that. I believe David wrote some powerful songs that we have,
the Psalms,
bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name.
Oh, my goodness,
and I really feel like the real test of whether a song is, does it do something on the inside of it? Does it move you?
If it works, is it going to work in service?
Right.
Because if the anointing is not on it, we don't do it.
Right, we don't.
And that's so difficult for people to understand. You know, the older folk, and, you know, I can put myself, raise my hand, the older folk are complaining up this way so strongly about the some of the churches that are catering much more to the younger crowd in worship, in any type of worship.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
and they're leaving the older folk out.
Right.
And they don't always understand, nor, as we used to say when I was a kid, dig this new music. Because, like you say, there's no anointing. They can't relate it to something.
Right.
Mm-hmm. They can't relate it to their mama singing the song or their grandparents
right.
taking them mm-hmm. to church or something.
Right.
And I really think that, you know, those songs and Psalms of David are definitely music to the ears of the Creator.
Praise, I'm glad you brought that up, because we're going to go there in the Scripture in just a minute. If you have your Bible, go to the book of Psalms, listen to this song, and then we're going to talk more about this on the other side of this song. This is a C.C. Winant song, Holy Spirit, Come Fill This Place.
That's what we're talking about.
Where that anointing of God, the presence of God, stirs your passion.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be talking about this in Faithful Leaders Tuesday night. And by the way, Faithful Leaders is a new class we're doing again. This is Faithful Leaders Part 3. Part 1, I taught in Indiana as a pastor there. We had Faithful Leaders once a month. And then we did it again when we were in Tampa, and you were a part of that series. Sure. We're starting it again. Carol, you were a part of Faithful Leaders.
Yes.
And we're starting it again, and we're studying the book of Nehemiah in depth, and we're linking it to another book in the Bible, which I'll surprise you on what that is. And it's really going to be an in-depth study, but it's all about passion. And you're going to find out that when we have passion for God in our lives, it causes us, Nathan, to sing because we are stirred down on the inside like your song did, like that song just did, right?
Oh,
doesn't it stir your passion?
Didn't it? Oh.
Isn't that what yes. happened to David, the yes. little psalmist out there yes. on the hillside
yes,
of Israel as a child with his harp and he was a shepherd boy? Mm. Don't you think what happened is that his passion for God was stirred by the songs that he wrote, and then as he would write the song and sing it, then he was stirred more and he'd write another one, you
yes.
know? I mean, just like what happened to you.
Yes.
So let's go to Psalm 63.
Before we do that, can we go to Psalm 31, verse 5?
Yes, sure. Let's go to Psalm 31, verse 5. What is it?
I started to play that music. I felt God told me to say something to Nathan.
Okay, go ahead.
Psalm 31:5 came into my head. And
all right.
Into your hands I commit my spirit. Mm. Redeem me, O Lord, the God of truth.
Right.
I know that's a song.
Mm.
And it's a song that Nathan needs to write.
All right. All right. Okay.
So it's 31:5. Into 31, your hands
5.
I commit my spirit.
Yes, Lord.
Redeem me, O Lord, the God of truth.
And that is also...
That'll be a beautiful piece of work.
Okay.
Just mm-hmm. given to me to tell you. And you know I don't write songs, so it couldn't be for me.
But you know, that's interesting because that is also quoted by Jesus on the cross when he said, into thy hands I commit my spirit. And that
yeah.
Jesus quoted that. Let's go to Psalm 63. And this is one that was written, I believe, by David, as I remember. So let's go there. And it is a familiar one to some of us. In fact, there's a song that we sing that it is a Psalm of David. God, you're my God. This is in the Message Bible. I can't get enough of you. Carol, do you have a different translation there?
Yes, I do.
Why don't you start reading there and go down through, let's see. Oh, just read the whole Psalm.
I think I can do that. This is from the NIV, New International Version.
All right, let's read it out of the NIV, Psalm 63 in your Bible.
All right.
Oh, God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you.
Amen.
My body longs for you. Mm. In a dry and weary land where there is no water.
Mm-hmm.
I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory, because your love is better than life. My lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live.
Woo.
And in your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you.
Wow.
On my bed, I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night. Because you are my help, I sing in the shadow of your wings. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. They who seek my life will be destroyed. They will go down to the depths of the earth. They will be given over to the sword and become food for jackals. But the king will rejoice in God. All who swear by God's name will praise him, while the mouths of liars will be silenced.
Mm.
You know, look at verse 7. It says, because you're my help, mm-hmm. I sing in the shadow of your wings.
Amen.
Remember Paul and Silas?
That's
they were
right.
singing in the shadow of God's wings.
They sure were.
My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me.
Yes,
amen.
And, a hand of strength.
Ooh, praise God. And this is written by David when he was in the desert of Judah and he was being yes. chased. And yet he knew that God was his strength. There's a little chorus we sing from this. I will bless thee, O Lord. It comes mm-hmm. from this passage.
Mm-hmm.
I will bless thee, O Lord, with a heart of thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
I will bless thee, O Lord. And, you know, that's what it's all about. You know, when we are in the direst of circumstances,
yeah.
the deepest pit of despair, the gloomiest sad times, God wants us to shift gears into the gear of praise no matter what our circumstances look like. Brother Nathan, comment on that before I get back to Carol here. Because you've been in a few dark circumstances.
Some gloomy circumstances, I have. I've been in some places where I think that without the strength of God, I would not have survived.
Right.
Because it's only him It's only trusting him.
Right.
Loving him.
Yes.
Singing to him.
Right.
Praising him. Worshiping him.
Yes.
Seeking him. Do I find restoration and do I find peace?
Right.
Do I find joy? Do I find healing? You know, it's just all these things, all the good things in my life come from God. And I know it.
And when you can look at tough times in your past and say, wow, I don't even know how I got through that.
Yes.
You know, I'm not even sure. You know, believe me, there's been a whole lot of pain and anguish for me in the ministry all these years. Mm-hmm. Times when people have turned their back on me and walked away and just all kinds of stuff have happened. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just part of the ministry. But, you know, during those hard times and going through divorce and so forth, you look and you say, okay, God, there's no way humanly that I feel good about this situation, mm-hmm. but I certainly feel good about you.
Yes.
And I may not like what's happening right this minute to me, and I may feel all discouraged about that, but your word says in Psalm 40, I believe, that you reach down and lift me up out of the miry clay and set my feet upon the rock, mm-hmm. Christ Jesus. And we don't have to feel good about our circumstances,
but
we can feel good about God in the midst of our circumstances.
Yes, we can. Yes, we can. And we can always trust him.
Amen.
You know, that's one thing that I learned in the midst of down circumstances.
Right.
I mean, that's where I really learned to trust God.
Absolutely. That's where it is.
Because when things are going great and things are going fine,
right,
my trust maybe just kind of coasts along,
right?
You know, and it may not even be evident,
right?
But when I'm down in deep dark circumstances, that's when my trust and my faith can grow and
Amen.
Does grow.
Woo.
Because you know that's where the rubber meets the road.
You know when we talk about David and sitting on the mountaintops and the high plains with his sheep, it's so symbolic. It's not just David the psalmist or David the man watching a herd of four-legged critters run around. It is symbolic. I think the symbolism of David, which could be any human, any part of humanity, any orientation, any language, but humanity, sitting in a lonely little world and looking out at these sheep who don't know how to guide themselves. That's why we all need a shepherd.
Right.
As Max Licato says, we don't need a cowboy. You know, because a cowboy will rope you and treat you kind of rough and throw you in the pen and drag you through the craggy creeks to get your water. But we need a shepherd.
Amen.
We need a shepherd that will take us and lead us and know the dangers that we're going to face. You
mm-hmm.
know, sheep don't tend to be very brilliant. Mm-hmm. They like to wander into creeks to get their water, and then they don't realize that their wet fur causes them to sink.
Yes.
A cowboy would rope that sheep and drag him out by a horse.
Yeah.
But what does a shepherd do? He goes in and gently lifts him up. So it's very symbolic to me of when I get myself into a creek and my wool is so thick that I start to drown out of my own ignorance.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus comes along, and he rescues this wet sheep.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Pulls me up and he shakes me off and he looks me in my face and goes, I love you. You're a sheep. Sometimes you're not very smart. I'm here to rescue you. And better than that, I'm here to love you through all of your bad times.
Yes.
All of the times that bring you hurt and disgust and discomfort.
Hmm.
You know, we don't have any defense, really.
Right.
You know, because as sheep, we don't have hands at work. We don't have feet that work at times. You know, we're just bouncing around from water hole to water hole until that shepherd grabs hold of us and says, I've come to save you because you called on me.
Yes.
Amen.
And when we scream out, shepherd, oh shepherd, where is my shepherd?
Mm. Right.
Don't we just know that he hears us?
Yes.
You know, and that is a perfect, and for you listeners that think that we plan these shows, We really don't. We
really don't.
We have a general idea of where we're going, maybe the theme, and we have the songs that Connie has prepared for us, but we don't know how it's all going to fit together, but it always does.
It always does.
Let's run over to Psalm 40, and this was also written by David. And David said, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit. It says in the New American Standard, the miry clay, but the slimy pit. Have any of you out there in radio land ever felt like you were in a slimy pit? Well, I have. Out of the mud and mire, ever felt like your circumstances just were weighing you down and that you just had, have you ever fallen in mud? I mean, I have in Indiana. There's mud in Indiana. out of the mud and mire. There's sand down here. You can actually get stuck in the sand or
yes,
the mud out on the causeway, which I have before, and tore a sandal totally up in that mire out there on Dunedin Causeway.
In the middle of the night, chasing down a wayward boat.
Yes, I did. Carol, you remember that story. Well, yes, Bill.
Remember it well.
I fell into the retention pond there in front of Perkins.
Ooh.
Golf to Bay in 19 one
Oh,
time.
That's not good, Bill.
That's not good.
That's not good.
That was a long time ago.
Well, what Carol's talking about is that a couple of our members a few years ago had a sailboat out at Dunedin Causeway, and the tide went way out in the late afternoon, and they didn't anticipate far the tide would go out. And I got a call from somebody at 8:30 at night saying, we are stuck out here. I've borrowed somebody's cell phone. Would you come out and help us get this boat in? Remember, Carol? And I remember. I lost a great pair of Teva sandals that way. But anyway, he lifted me out of the slimy pit. Yes, we got the boat out. Out of the mud and mire, he set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth. This is Psalm 40, verse something or other, 3. A hymn of praise to our God. A hymn of praise to our God. Mm-hmm. Isn't that? That's Paul and Silas. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see in fear and put their trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, who does not look to the proud or to those who turn aside to false gods. And I love that. He put a new song in my mouth and a hymn of praise to our God. Praise God. Mm.
Yeah, and you know the disciples didn't wear Teva sandals. How many sandals they walked through
in order
to go on their mission.
And what
did he tell them? He said, well, if you go to a place where you're not accepted, you know, take your shoes off, shake the dust off, and go on down the road. Well, you know, you getting stuck out in that muck and mire is very symbolic of somebody getting stuck in the muck and mire of the world.
That's exactly
and
right.
And what do we do?
Yeah.
You know, that person, and I know of whom you're speaking, received a cell phone to make the call.
Right.
We've got cell phones now to make the call, but our call should be made to the psalmist. Our calls should be made to the people who wrote the Bibles of the book. You know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And
get in the Word, in other words.
Lydia.
Get in the Word.
All these people in the Bible that had significant encounters with Jesus Christ or with the disciples of Jesus. So we're all stuck in muck and mire, Pastor, until we reach out that hand.
Yeah.
And we either go help somebody else get out of it or somebody comes along to help us. And they hand us scripture.
Okay.
They hand us the Word of God. They feed us. They feed us His words for living water and the nourishment that we need, which is the faith and spirit of love in Him.
Well, I totally agree with you.
Show people, I can't help it.
It is. It seems to be that way, doesn't it? And we started with Acts 16, where Paul and Silas are in a difficult, impossible situation in maximum security. And they hand us the key to victory, guys, in this story today.
Yes,
they hand us the key, and the key is learning to praise God in the midst of your situation. Listen to this song, and then we're going to talk about it on the other side. One of my favorites, it's an old one by the Imperials, Praise the Lord.
When you're up against a struggle that shatters all your dreams, and your hopes have been cruelly crushed by Satan's manifested scheme, and you feel the urge within you to submit to earthly fears, don't let the faith you're standing in shake. that we are paupers, when he knows himself we're children of the King. So lift up the mighty shield of faith, for the battle must be won. We know that Jesus Christ is risen.
Amen.
So the world's already done.
Woo! God. Now that's what I'm talking about. That's yeah. what I'm talking that's, about. That's there it. Is such. We're going to do that again. Yeah, we are. Bill's going. We're doing that again, aren't we? you're just such a good engineer. You can just feel it, can't
he
you?
Anticipates
he feels
he knows it. He knows
because
it.
Guys, everything we've been talking about is contained in the words of that old Imperial song.
Yes.
When you're up against a struggle that shatters all your dreams
yes.
and your hopes have been. Cruelly crushed by Satan's manifested schemes,
yes.
and you feel the urge within you to give in to
earthly fear.
Don't let the faith you're standing
That's
in
right. seem to disappear.
Yes. Wow. Praise God. Praise God. Carol, comment on that before we play it again, will you? Woo!
Well, if it doesn't just lift your spirits beyond the heavens, I don't
now.
Know
come
what
on.
Would.
Stirs
you know?
Your passion, right?
In our most
yes.
dire circumstances, it's a time we stand
yes.
firmly planted on
yes.
the rock of Jesus
yes.
Christ.
That's right.
That we can stand there and raise our hands, even as Paul and Silas did, and sing these wonderful songs of
yes.
praise
yes.
and let everybody around us see, in whatever our circumstances are, that we can stand there and still praise God
praise
because of his goodness, his mercy,
amen.
Heaven, his grace for us.
Woo! Amen. Nathan, what's your comment to that before we play it again? Because I am ready just to jump out of here and just,
no
I mean,
matter,
to be lifted.
To Tampa.
No
oh,
I know. Matter what.
Yes.
No matter what circumstances we
right.
find ourselves in.
Yes.
I mean, circumstances can change in an instant.
Yes, they can. Shift.
You know,
here comes the shift.
Here comes the shift. And it's praise.
It's praise.
We praise God. You know, we praise God when we feel like it, and we praise God when we don't feel like it.
We praise God when we don't feel like it, Nathan?
When we don't feel like it.
Really?
And,
no, it's
yes.
the doxology.
Oh,
yes.
I'm telling you.
Praise
yes.
God from whom
all
blessings
flow. Yes.
That's
God,
right.
all creatures here below.
Amen.
Mm. I mean, you know, that's what we do. When circumstances are wonderful, like Brother Nathan said, oh, yeah, we got songs of praise to sing. And, boy, we jump up and down and sing them then. You know, you walk along, you see something green
just
on the ground,
around.
You pick it up, and it's a $100 bill.
Yeah.
You start singing those praises.
Yeah.
And, thank you, Jesus.
Right.
Thank you, Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
But when your circumstances are such that you don't even have a penny
in the bank,
and you thank God for what he's doing for you,
thank him anyway.
And how he's going
Been
to
there.
Bless you,
that's right.
Amen.
While you're standing there with your pocket inside out, nothing falling but dust.
Shoo.
But lint.
Right.
Just that blue lint from those jeans.
And
that's
been
it.
There.
But what we're all saying, and the three of us are agreeing on this, is when you do praise God in the midst of the trial and
There's
the problem, there happens the shift.
Yes.
And for those of you out there right now who need a miracle in your life, sing this song with us. Brother Bill, here we go.
When you're up against a struggle that shatters all your dreams, and your hopes have been cruelly crushed by Satan's manifested scheme, and you feel the urge within you to submit to earthly fears, don't let the faith you're standing in seem to disappear.
Powerless.
Now Satan is a liar, and he wants to make us think that we are paupers, when he knows himself we're children of the King.
Praise God.
So lift up the mighty shield of faith, for the battle must be won.
Amen.
We know that Jesus Christ is risen.
Amen. Praise God. Woo! Hallelujah. Wow. The chains that seem to bind you serve only to remind you.
They seem to bind you.
Right. They serve only to remind you that they drop powerless behind you when you praise him.
Yes.
So praise is the shift.
Oh, yes.
That takes us into the victory that we are begging God for.
Yes.
Instead, so often we spend time belly aching and feeling sorry for ourselves instead of realizing that God has provided the shift, and it is praising God in the midst of our situation.
Yes. Because God shows up. God inhabits the praises of his people.
Yes, he does.
He inhabits our praises. Never late.
And he's never late. And Brother Nathan, I've got to say this, because on Sunday mornings, now we start at 10 at Beacon of Hope in Clearwater, for those of you that want to come visit and just see what wild stuff's going on, because there really is a whole lot of wild stuff going on.
Really is.
3700 Almerton Road, right behind Five Guys and Poncheros and all that stuff. It's 10 o'clock on Sunday mornings. The praise team gets there before 9. And I walked in this morning right at 9 thinking I was on time, but you guys were into it already.
Yes, we were.
And the power and the presence and the anointing of God was filling that place. And it filled it so much. And y'all don't realize, I know you do, but I'm not sure everybody on the praise team does, how important it is that you set that atmosphere for the anointing. And then when I get up to preach, it is so easy. Mm-hmm. It was so easy today. The anointing of God was so incredibly strong, wasn't it?
It may seem easy to you, but it was powerful for us sitting there receiving it. Because, there was so much ministry that happened today.
Yes,
there was so much that my soul was just rejoicing.
Praise
and
God.
And just jumping. And I just wanted to get up and jump up and down.
It was.
Because it was just
powerful.
So powerful. And I mean, I could tell you wanted to jump up and down too, because
I did.
You were.
I was jumping up and down. And tell Carol and our listening audience that I broke from what I normally do of praying for people at the end of the service.
You
would you describe to them what happened today? Because the anointing was so strong.
God just moved in a way where it became each individual's personal responsibility to get in touch with him.
Right.
And to pray for themselves.
Right.
To pray for themselves.
People were at the altar.
And people were at the altar.
Praying around the platform.
People were kneeling at their chairs.
Yes.
And it was something to see.
And
it
I didn't lay hands on one person. In fact, I said, God told me not to lay hands on any of you today, so y'all too bad.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, because it was that personal breakthroughs that needed to happen, right?
And it happened.
Yes.
And it
happened.
Well,
you started it by inviting the Holy Spirit in, even before you arrived.
Yes. Amen.
Yes.
Always.
Taking
always.
Away and saying, come join us today. Teach us today.
Absolutely.
Holy Spirit, come with us.
I'm telling you, he
did. And embody
did.
Us in your strength.
Oh, amen. And, you know, for those of you out there that are listening, maybe you don't have a church home that you go to. Beacon of Hope is a small group of people, relatively speaking. However, we are so mighty and powerful
in
the things of the Lord.
Yes,
we're not
are.
Be there's not it's not a huge number. You won't be lost in the crowd.
Yeah. We will recognize
we'll recognize you. That's
in.
Right. But
and we'll love you.
We'll love you. And the anointing of God that rests in the services is because we do that thing, that very thing, Carol, you just said. We invite the Holy Spirit to come in, do his work, and we start praising God and thanking him for the anointing. And for the power of God in the service before we see it even happening.
Yes.
We thank God for it before we see it.
We expect it.
We expect it.
I mean, we don't take it for granted.
No, but we expect
but
it.
But we expect it. We
do.
Expect
open
him to
an
show
invitation.
That's
not
right.
only to the Holy Spirit, but when people who were new to Beacon or who maybe only attended several times realize that every service the Holy Spirit is invited to come in to change lives, to take people's troubles away, show them a different way, allowing them permission to kneel at their chair.
Amen.
By simply saying, where you are, where you sit, where you stand, talk to your God today.
Exactly.
Open your hearts to him today. Let him know your innermost fears today.
Yes.
Absolutely.
I believe.
And we are standing here in faith with every soul connected in this room to one God, one Jesus, one Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I believe that today no one left that church without peace of mind.
I agree. It was that kind of a day.
Everyone received.
Oh, my.
What they needed.
And you know, there's nothing greater than peace of mind in Jesus Christ.
Nothing greater.
So I have a little sign, and I've said it a million times, and before I pass, I'll probably say it a million more. I have a little sign that goes on my wall and a picture frame, and it says, peace, this I seek each day.
Yes, amen.
I don't mean a peace when a gun's not shooting at me or a dagger isn't being thrown. I mean the peace of
the
Jesus.
The peace of God on the inside of you.
Yes,
that passes all of our understanding.
Yes.
And
I need that. I need that in my world, and that's one of the reasons I'm praising God for this ear situation.
Right.
Yes.
Because you know God's already getting glory from that testimony, and he will continue.
Yes, he will.
You know, to Carol and to Nathan here, I really want us to point out and not emphasize this for a real long period of time, but just short, that the devil does not want you praising God.
No,
and
yes,
so he will do anything he can to keep you from it. Nathan, give me some examples maybe for our audience, and then Carol, you can chime in too here, of things the devil tries to do, and maybe some of our Radio Land listeners will recognize some of these things and go, whoa, okay, I'm going to be more aware of that.
Well, just this past week.
Okay.
I was walking under a cloud of depression.
It really?
Yes, and it was heavy.
Okay.
I mean, it was almost physical.
Wow.
And you know, I knew that I had done nothing to really invite this. I didn't think I had.
Right.
And I just began to pray and ask God to remove it. And,
right.
You know, I told the devil, no.
Yes.
No.
Darkness has no power over me. Did you tell him that? You should have sung your song to him.
I should have sung that song to him.
Right.
I didn't.
Yeah.
But I did praise God, started praising God.
Right.
And the cloud actually lifted.
Amen.
And I mean, it was an awesome experience. But I mean, that's something, one of the things that happens.
Yes.
You know, how Satan will come and uninvited.
Right.
Definitely uninvited.
Right.
And will put something on you.
Right.
And you can say, yes, I'll take that. Or no, it's not for me.
Exactly.
And that's in my situation, whenever he comes along, no, it's not for me.
Right. And instead, you begin to praise God and watch that thing break.
Yes.
Ooh, Carol, do you have a comment as to some of the things the devil tries to do to keep us from praising God?
He comes like a thief in the night.
Yes.
Yeah, he does.
He will not come on a beautiful sunshiny day and announce himself. Waits until a fear of depression comes in, a spirit of depression comes in. He will come to steal whatever God has placed in your heart that
is good
and
right
and
destroy.
Wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there was James Herriot, the veterinarian, wrote, all things, you know, all creatures great and small, all things wise and wonderful, the Lord God made them all.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, He makes all those wonderful things for us. He makes a successful entry into a job. He makes a successful entry to move into a spirit of oneness with him.
Right.
He makes it so that your grandchildren are absolutely fabulous, wonderful. Nobody has better grandchildren than you. And then all of
Nathan
sudden,
and I both agree with that. We both yes. have the best grandchildren, yes.
Grandparents, both of you are.
Yes, we are.
And, you know, he comes to steal those things from us. He
yes.
tries to take our
right.
joy.
Yes.
He tries to take our self-confidence. Mm-hmm. He tries to put us away from God in every
right.
way that he
yes,
can.
Yes, he does.
You know, we come to God with a spirit of humility and a consciousness of need. We seek God, connecting ourselves and our prayers with our responsible actions. Oh, that makes him angry. It makes
yeah.
Satan so angry.
Yes,
yes it does.
Knocking
but too
on the
bad.
Door with perseverance and praying not only for ourselves and our situations, but praying for our nation's
uh-huh.
leaders, praying for
mm-hmm.
our nation, mm-hmm. praying for the indigent people of the world,
mm-hmm. right.
praying for God's people wherever they are. And Satan doesn't want us to do that, so he invites prejudice into our hearts.
Mm. Right.
You know,
yeah.
he invites us to enjoy his world. Yeah, it's much better, like I told Pastor, it's much better to be out there on Lake Lanier with your water skis and your boat and everything than it is to be sitting in a choir room rehearsing with your choir. Or
some people feel that way.
This radio
yeah,
program.
Some people feel that way, yeah.
You know, a lot of people feel that way because
right.
that's what he wants us to feel.
Right.
He doesn't want us to feel and experience the joy of fellowship and friendship and joy and laughter and oneness with our Creator.
Amen.
But the bottom line is he loves us so much, and there is such power in that love. And this next song we're going to do is one of my favorites by Hillsong. The power of your love. And it really talks about the fact that God loves us so much. And when we begin to praise him and thank him for that great love, all of our circumstances change, because God likes to be reminded by us how much we love him, how
yeah.
much he loves us.
Yeah.
We sang that old chorus today, Carol. Oh, how I love Jesus.
Yeah,
oh,
I love
how
song.
I love Jesus. It was
yeah,
so
good.
And it just stirred us. Then we went into Jesus Loves Me, This I Know. And we did that kind of at the end of the service, I think. And mm-hmm. and we're reminded of the power of his great love for us. And when we begin to worship him and praise him and say things like that, God, I love you. I bless you.
Mm-hmm.
Like David, bless the Lord, O my soul. That's Psalm 103. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. He heals all my diseases and forgives all my iniquities. He renews my youth like the eagle. And as we begin to quote the word to him and begin to praise him and thank him and talk about his great love, our circumstances absolutely change.
Yes, thank
the
you,
power
Jesus.
Of your love.
Lord, I come to you, let my heart be changed, renewed, flowing from the grace that I found in you. Lord, I me will be stripped away.
praise God. I love that song. That's got great
that
words.
I wrote in 2010, Woo. October 21st, and it's about Satan and the power of Jesus Christ.
Okay.
All right.
It says, I am a survivor. I've looked Satan right in his evil, foreboding, hopeless eyes. Our gaze is locked. Lost in time and place, I stared him down. I never blinked. I never looked away. I just stared with eyes of faith into the dark deepness of his eyes. I never looked away. I saw the evil he grows. I heard the words of death and darkness spew from his evil lips. I never looked away. My eyes spoke of faith, hope, mercy, life, courage, determination through my relationship with Jesus. He looked away. Defeated, rejected, he could not stand looking into my eyes.
Wow.
Thank you, Lord.
You
That's
wrote that
powerful.
On October 21st
yes,
of 2010. October 21st
powerful.
Is our anniversary for Beacon of Hope.
Yes.
Wow. Praise God.
Praise
that's
God.
Really good. That's
powerful.
Really good. And that's what it's all about, guys, that's is standing up to the tricks and schemes of the devil, the way that he tries to get you out of a opportunity to praise God. He mm-hmm. wants to change the devil wants to change your circumstances so you don't have time to praise, or you don't feel
Whatever.
The need, or you're discouraged and don't want to, or you're sick, or you're tired, or whatever. And the shift comes, everyone, when you do what Carol's poem said there, and you look the devil square in the eyes and say, wait a minute, I belong to the Lord Jesus
and
Christ.
Start praising God.
And you begin praising
he
God.
He can't argue with that.
He
no,
cannot. He
can't.
Hates praise. He
yes,
hates
he
praise. The devil hates praise. Nathan, what's your comment to that? Beautiful poem.
Yeah, that poem spoke volumes.
It did. It
volumes
did.
To my heart.
Yes.
And I praise God for it. And I hope that many, many millions get to read that.
That's really
get
good.
To hear that, because it's a powerful, powerful statement
right.
of who we are in Christ.
Yes.
And who the devil is.
Exactly.
And you know, he can spew out of his mouth all the ugliness, all the stuff that he wants to. And we can speak the name of Jesus,
Amen.
And it all falls away.
Amen.
And
one
just,
word spoken.
One
word,
the name.
Changes every
everything.
Evil
Thank you,
that
Jesus.
Satan has perpetrated on
That's
any
right.
human being
That's right.
or even on the world.
That's
exactly.
right.
And that one word simply is Jesus.
Jesus.
Amen.
That's right.
So
nobody can stand looking you in the face.
Mm.
Do any evil thing. If you stand calmly, as hard as it might be, if someone's verbally attacking
yes.
you, for instance, you stand calmly, you listen to what they spew out of
mm-hmm,
their mouth.
Mm-hmm.
You look them dead in their eyes.
And
he can't
say,
handle it.
Jesus. That's right.
Raise
can.
Your hand, and they say, what do you have to say?
Yeah.
And you simply raise your hand, you say, Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
And he falls flat
Satan
on his face.
It's all about you, Jesus.
About Jesus.
Carol,
Amen.
Nathan wrote another wonderful song. It's all about you, Jesus. We did it this morning, I think, in rehearsal.
Mm-hmm.
And it is just an incredible song. It's all about you, Jesus. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. All about you. As I lift my voice and praise
on high,
as I lift my hands
to the sky,
it's all about you, Jesus. It's all about you. And really, that is what it's all about. Maybe
that's
we'll.
That's what it's all about.
That's
Thank
it.
You, Nathan, for that song.
Yes.
That is what it's all about.
Yes.
Yes.
You know, we can stand here or sit here and tell people to listen and so forth, when their heart is so filled to overflow
right.
with the love of Jesus within them,
mm-hmm.
and they call out his very
Amen.
Name, rocks will crumble.
Mm.
Amen.
You know, they will crumble.
Yes.
The
Amen.
Very rocks in the last times will call out his name.
Praise.
Is that not amazing?
Amen.
Isn't that amazing?
And to write
Woo.
A song like that, Nathan, giving people permission. I called you David in my heart. That's a psalm from David.
He is a David in his heart.
To
yes.
say to people, and he blessed you with that today.
Yes.
And blessed the congregation.
Yes.
Yeah.
To call out his name
Amen.
And to stand forth, to stand firm. It takes courage and wisdom and strength
Yes.
and great love.
which he has for all of us. And when we stand up and say to the world, you can't touch me. Remember, you can't touch that.
Can't touch that.
Right.
Can't touch that.
Can't
right.
touch
you
that.
Can't touch the love of Jesus
Thank you,
Christ.
Amen.
To God, the Savior, and the Holy Spirit to his children.
Amen.
You can't touch it.
That's one reason I love that song that we just played by Hillsong, The Power of His Love. You know, it just... Oh, it's a powerful song.
Yes.
We got to do that one at Beacon. It's just a real powerful song. Nathan, give us some final thoughts here. What you want to kind of sum up your thoughts, and then Carol, get ready too. We just got a few minutes left now.
We have a wonderful, powerful weapon.
Yes.
Against the attacks of the enemy.
Yes, we do.
And it's simple. It's simple and easy to do.
Yes.
And when your heart is full,
right.
you want to do it.
Right.
It's praise.
Exactly.
Simply praise the name of God. Praise
right.
the name of Jesus. Invite the Holy Spirit to come and fill your place.
Right.
You know, the devil will not hang around.
Right.
He will not hang around.
Right.
And any of his evil emotions or frustrations
right.
or distractions or anything that he has planned or anything that he has brought into a situation flees. It has
right.
to go. It can't,
has to go.
It can't stay around. It flees.
Amen.
And you're set free as you praise. As you praise.
As you praise.
In your praise.
Amen.
You are free. And you just, oh my goodness. It just, you go to another place.
You do. You go to another place.
You go to
you
another
do.
Place. And you just begin to just praise God with all your heart and with all your soul. And just,
you do.
I want to encourage each person in your own way today to reach out and praise God.
Amen.
Reach out and touch him in that way.
Right.
Just reach out and touch God, you know, in whatever way, you know, that you know how to praise him. If you don't know any praise songs, make up your own praise
song. Right, that's right.
You know, just, it's easy.
Exactly.
It's
or
easy.
Just get your CD that's
get
on.
CD, get my CD online.
On our website, beaconofhopeministries.com.
Yeah.
Carol, give us your final thoughts. I got about 2 minutes here.
Okay, my final thoughts are that hatred cannot exist in a world where the love of Jesus Christ and God and the Holy Spirit live.
Mm.
We have to sing songs of praise to him all the time.
Amen.
Right.
You know, if we, like Nathan says, if we don't know a song, we make one up. You know, a carol, the name carol means songs of joy.
All right.
So I don't write the kind of things that Nathan does. I write other things. And I try to sing my songs of joy through the music that Nathan has written, through the
yes.
music other people have written.
Right.
We have to lift our hands in adoration and praise to the living God. He gave his life for us on a cross
yes.
that we can have life not just here but eternally with him
yes.
and oh the heavens will shout out and ring out with songs of joy
yes.
I can hear them now
yes
thank
amen you,
praise
thank
God
you, Lord. Thank you Lord
Woo, hallelujah
thank you, Lord.
We do praise you right now God
thank you Jesus
thank you God if you
praise
out there
name.
Are not sure right this moment that
thank
if you
Jesus.
Died tonight you would be in the arms of Jesus we want to give you the opportunity right now to pray this prayer with us. Nathan, would you just repeat it after me for them and they can say it with you. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you now in the name of Jesus.
Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you now in the name of Jesus.
I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
That he died on the cross for my sins and sicknesses.
That he died on the cross for my sins and sicknesses.
That he came out of the tomb a risen Lord.
That he came out of the tomb a risen Lord.
And that he ever lives in heaven right now to intercede for me.
And that he ever lives in heaven right now to intercede for me.
I repent and reject.
I repent and reject.
All things I've ever said or done that were not pleasing to you, Lord.
All things that I've ever said or done that were not pleasing to you, Lord.
I invite you to come into my heart this moment.
I invite you to come into my heart this moment.
And become my Lord and Savior.
And become my Lord and Savior.
I accept you now as my personal Lord and Savior.
I accept you now as my personal Lord and Savior.
I am your child and you are my father.
I am your child and you are my father.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Praise Amen. God. Amen. If you
Praise
prayed
God.
That prayer with us, we want to hear from you.
Mm-hmm.
You can write me personally and I will write you back.
Mm-hmm.
Pastor at BeaconofHopeMinistries.com. Pretty easy. Pastor at BeaconofHopeMinistries.com. beaconofhopeministries.com. Go to our website, again, beaconofhopeministries.com. Find out all you can about the ministry. We actually have PayPal on there that you can actually give a financial donation. Become a part of this ministry financially, and that money will go towards the payment of this radio show on a weekly basis. So if you want to become a part, and if you even live in Timbuktu or someplace close to that place, you can be a part of Beacon of Hope Ministries because of technology these days.
That's right.
And it's pretty cool. And again, this show will be up on our website by tomorrow afternoon, beaconofhopeministries.com. You can go there and you can listen to the show again, or you can call a friend and say, hey, want you to hear what I heard yesterday. And if you're in the Tampa Bay area visiting, or you don't currently have a church, we welcome you to Beacon of Hope, 3700 Almerton Road, right behind Five Guys Poncheros, near 38th Street and Almerton Road in Clearwater, 10 o'clock Sunday morning. And Wednesday night at 7 for Bible study. Bring your Bible and a notebook and come get into the Word with us. Even you can bring your dinner if you're coming late from work. A lot of people do. We have tables set up and it's a fun time. If you have a prayer need this week and you wish you had somebody that could pray with you or for you, our phone number is 813-417-3377. Those numbers were picked out on purpose by me. 813-417-3377. Deb will answer the phone and we'll be able to pray with you. If you would like to send an email with a prayer request, it's very simple. Prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com. Prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com. And you will have your request sent out to our prayer team. If you want to be a part of our prayer team, no matter where you are in the globe, you write us at prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com and become a part of our prayer team. This has been Pastor Marcia McAllister and the senior pastor at Beacon of Hope Ministries. Yes. And dear brother Nathan Burton, our minister of music, Carol, one of my right-hand people up there in Covington, Georgia, Carol Wichert. And all of you that are a part of Beacon, we're so glad that you support us faithfully each week. Tune in again next week, live, 4 o'clock, Tampa Bay time. And it's been a joy to be with you this time again.
Happy birthday to Carol.
Oh, it was Maxine. It was Maxine, and we did. Yes. Happy birthday, our webmaster, Maxine. We said that earlier. Thanks, Sean. Sean was doing sign language in the control room for me. I couldn't read him. Happy birthday, Maxine. And yes. Oh, this week is Pastor Jim. So yes. Happy birthday, Pastor Jim.
Yes.
God bless you. See you next week.
Bye.